The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Dodgers were able to do it. They are officially the World Series champions. They finished off the Yankees in Game 5. And gotta say, that was one of the biggest implosions I've ever seen in the World Series, probably in all the years I've been watching it. Man, the Yankees had the lead. This game was theirs for the taking, but the Dodgers did not give up. And it just showed why the Dodgers are the better team in this one, because I've actually been watching all the Yankees games this year. I've pretty much caught the majority of their games. And they have a couple of things about them where you're like, you're not really buttoned up in that area. One would be defensively, they've had some issues defensively. They're obviously not the worst defensive team in the world, but they've just had their issues. And then also with base running as well, stealing bases. They just tend to get caught stealing bases all the time. And then they have their slumps as well when it comes to hitting. And it bit them in the ass in all of the games they lost, including this game. They had the lead. Garrett Cole, he is pitching a gem. Aaron Judge finally hit a home run. Stanton hit another home run. Jazz Chisholm, he hit a home run. They are just rolling. Then the fifth inning hits, and all of a sudden, it's like the Yankees forgot how to play baseball. An easy pop fly right out to Aaron Judge. He drops it. Guy gets on base. Then later in this same inning, Anthony Volpe, he has an error when he tosses the ball to third base instead of getting the easy guy at second. And honestly, it's difficult in real time to make that decision. In hindsight, obviously, he should have thrown it to second. But I mean, I get why he was throwing it to third. But basically, that kept more guys on base. Then another boneheaded play was by Garrett Cole and Anthony Rizzo. I mean, honestly, it's hard to really place the blame on one guy in general, but both of them, they were definitely at fault. It was an easy ground hit to Rizzo, and Garrett Cole didn't run to first base because it kind of looked like Rizzo was going to be able to just hit first base just by picking it up. Too much confusion from the two of them, and it really just kept the inning going. And the Dodgers were able to tie the game up at that point. Yankees ended up taking the lead again, but the Dodgers were able to take the lead in the end. They got the win 7-6. Freddie Freeman ended up being the MVP. This was the only game in the World Series he did not have a home run, but I mean, obviously he was why they won game one. And I mean, he really was really what set the pace in each and every game that they won. I mean, even in this one, in the fifth inning run there, he was part of it. So it was just complete domination by the Dodgers, and it's because they were more buttoned up than the Yankees. They were able to just hold on defensively. Man, Mookie Betts made some huge plays in the outfield. Shohei Ohtani, you got to give it up to him. Even though he didn't have a great playoff series, the dude, you could tell he was hurting from that injured shoulder, but he stepped up and did what he had to do as well just to win the World Series, because, I mean, that's what it's all about. But like I said, the Yankees completely imploded. We should be talking about a Game 6 tonight, but unfortunately, because the Yankees were terrible, the Dodgers were the better team, and the Dodgers are the World Series champs. So, yeah, that's a terrible end, in my opinion, because I fucking hate the Dodgers, but you got to give it up to them. They dominated all regular season. They got three of the top players in the league with Freeman, Ohtani, and Betts. And hell, their starting pitching was terrible. They were bullpen by committee, and that bullpen by committee was what also got them a bunch of wins in this World Series and all the way, really, throughout the entire season. So congrats to the Dodgers on getting that World Series win, and I'm sure the Yankees feel like shit because they had game one, and they blew that one, and then they had this last game and blew that one, and that's two wins that could have easily been theirs, but that's baseball, man. Baseball changes in and out. It's the craziest thing, but that's why you got to love baseball. So that is the official end of baseball season. Now let's get to Thursday night football. And the New York Jets finally got a win. They got the win 21-13 over the Houston Texans. This was an extremely boring game for the most part. Neither team wanted to score in the first half. They both finally did get touchdowns, and it kind of looked like it was going to be one of those games for the Jets because their stupid-ass receiver, right before he runs into the end zone, he actually fumbles the ball because he's too worried about celebrating rather than actually, you know, crossing the line. So what ended up happening is it ended up being a touchback, so it kind of looked like it was going to be one of those games for the Jets, but they were able to put it together in the second half. Aaron Rodgers had an Aaron Rodgers-type game. He went 22 for 32, 211 yards and three touchdowns. And the Texans, they looked very disjointed. And I have a lot of questions about the Texans. I still think they're a good team. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league. But, excuse me. I do feel like once we hit the playoffs, or maybe even towards the end of the season, some of these cracks that we're starting to see with the Texans are going to end up being a problem for them in the long run. But I mean, they really did not show up offensively yesterday. They looked pretty bad. And as I said, their offensive line, not looking good. CJ Stroud is running a lot. He even got blown up on a couple of plays last night. And I'm like, see, the Texans are going to be lucky if this guy's able to make it without some type of debilitating injury the rest of the season. Cause it's tough on him right now. But the Jets did get the win, 21-13. They really needed that win. And so that's how that game went. But it was an extremely boring-ass game. So let's get to the rest of the Week 9. And also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. We both went 9-7 last week. So that brings my season total up to 77-46. His season total up to 63-60. So Simon has a long way to go to catch up to me. But he did gain a game last night because he had the Jets winning 27-20. I had the Texans 24-20 because in my opinion, I'm probably not, unless it's like a really bad team that the Jets are going up against, I am probably not putting my faith in any game that the Jets are playing because they have let me down too many times this season. And that's why I couldn't go with them. I'm actually not surprised that the Texans were upset in this one because, you know, they were going to New York. The Jets really needed a win. I mean, they really, really needed a win. So they were a desperate team. So I'm not shocked at all that the Texans won. It's just I was not bold enough to go with that Jets pick because they have pissed me off over the majority of the season. I've been taking the Jets. I've been believing in the Jets. And so far, they've been a waste of my time, so I am probably not picking the Jets unless it's like an overtly obvious team, like maybe the Carolina Panthers. That's probably a matchup I would go, oh yeah, I think I got to pick the Jets in that one. But, I mean, the Jets are very, very, very shaky for me this season. So let's move on to the rest of Week 9 and what we've got going on Sunday. In the early games, we have my Dallas Cowboys at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, the Cowboys are kind of in the same situation that the Jets are, and they really fucking need a win. It kind of looked like they were starting to get going just a bit last week against the Niners, but of course they shot themselves in the foot, as they normally do. So we'll see what happens in Atlanta here. Atlanta's not a very convincing team to me. As a matter of fact, I feel like the Cowboys, if they play their game right, they should win this one. You know, when you're a Cowboys fan, you can't rely on anything from this team, at least so far. So I am going to go Cowboys because, hey, I'm a Cowboys fan. I've always said I do not pick against my team ever. Do not care how shitty they are. I do not care how stupid I sound, but I am loyal to the team, and I will never be picking against my Cowboys. So I have them winning a close one, 27-24. Simon is going against me in this one. He's got the Falcons winning this one, 27-20. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite. The Dolphins have been terrible this year. Even without Tua's injury, they just look terrible. They haven't really got any. Their thing used to be a very explosive offense and an okay defense. Now they're just terrible at pretty much everything. They have yet to find an identity. They've really yet to have a good game where you're like, damn, Miami looks like a good team. Whereas the Bills, it's just the opposite. The Bills are obviously a playoff-bound team. They're a team that I could legitimately look at and say, that's a Super Bowl-bound team. They still have some holes that I think needs to be fixed, but I mean, real talk, I would not be shocked to see the Bills in the Super Bowl at the end of the season, just because I feel like they have a good team. They've got a good quarterback in Josh Allen, who's had one of the best seasons of his life. You've got Cook in the backfield, who's taken the pressure off of him. They just traded for Amari Cooper, so I feel like he's just going to get better as the season wears on. And the Bills just look like a good team to me. So I've got the Bills winning this one 31-21. Simon also has the Bills winning this one 27-17. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now the Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. The Bengals have yet to have like a good game where they just break out and kick ass. They did have that good game against the Ravens, but it was back and forth. And what I'm meaning by a good game where they just dominate from start to finish. I don't want to see them crack. I don't want to see them fall apart. I want to see them from start to finish get it going. And I feel like the Las Vegas Raiders are the perfect team to do that against. They're at home. They're really just needing a good, solid win. And I think that's finally going to come from the Bengals this week. I've got the Bengals winning 27-13. Simon also has the Bengals winning 31-24. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. The Browns finally got a big win that they needed last week, but to me, that doesn't mean anything. The Chargers actually seem to be getting better as the season wears on. Justin Herbert really seems to be fitting in more and more with the offense as the season wears on. They do have their issues offensively because I feel like Herbert's yet to really find a go-to receiver. So I feel like that's going to be an issue for them. But this is the Cleveland Browns, who have just been terrible, especially against really good teams. So I've got the Chargers winning this one 24-17. Simon actually disagrees with me on this one. He's got the Browns winning 27-16. Just for me, I don't care that Jameis Winston is playing. There's a reason why Jameis Winston is now a backup. He's not that good. He's just a mid-tier guy, but I mean, this Browns team, they've had a lot more issues than just Deshaun Watson being a terrible quarterback, but they're just not a good team, and the Chargers, like I said, they're putting it together defensively. They're actually really solid, so I feel like they're going to have a field day, actually, with Jameis Winston, who's known to turn the ball over at times. Then we have the New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Titans are a 3.5-point favorite. I feel like this is going to be the snooze fest of the day, where it's just going to be a bunch of field goals for the most part. I do think the Patriots are the better team overall, so I've got the Patriots winning this one 19-10. Simon also has the Patriots winning this one 20-17. Then we have the Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are an 8.5-point favorite. They are coming off of a tough loss against the Cleveland Browns last week. And usually when that happens, the Ravens bounce back big. And the Broncos are not a good team. They've had their moments this year. Yes, they're 5-3. Yes, they've been able to do some good things, but they still have their bad moments as well. And the Ravens are a legit team. And I actually feel like the Ravens are going to just kick their ass in this one. I feel like the defense is going to have a field day. I feel like Derrick Henry's just going to be pissed. I feel like Lamar Jackson's just going to be pissed. And this is going to be a big win for the Baltimore Ravens, 42-14. Simon also has the Ravens winning 20-12. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. Right now, the Commanders are a 3.5-point favorite. The Giants are just an absolutely atrocious team. There is absolutely nothing good to say about this team. Whereas the Commanders have actually had a very surprising, nice, solid season. They've been the best team in the NFC East, and it's by a mile, too. They just feel like they're getting better. They're winning in different ways. Defensively, there's issues, but I mean, overall, this is a good team, and they're much better than the Giants. So I have the Commanders winning this one 28-14. Simon also has Washington winning this one 24-20. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Saints are a 6.5-point favorite. It's looking like a possibility that Derek Carr may play in this one, but to me, the Saints have way too many injuries. It doesn't matter whether or not Derek Carr plays in this one, but they just have so many injuries and they're so decimated. I don't really see how they get it going. Yes, the Carolina Panthers are one of the worst teams in the league, but they still play hard in some games, and I feel like this is going to be a division matchup. They're at home. Saints, they are just decimated by injuries. So I'm going with the Carolina Panthers in this one, 26-14. And of course, Simon is going with his Carolina Panthers in this one, 28-27. Then the afternoon games, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 7.5-point favorite. The Eagles finally had their first legit game last week where they looked good in all three phases of the game and really just showed out. The Jaguars, they've had just a terrible season. They have no identity. They don't look good at all. in any way, shape, or form. And while the Eagles, I don't think they're really a competitive team. I don't look at them as a Super Bowl-bound team. I wouldn't be shocked if they made the playoffs, but I don't think they're that good of a team where you take them seriously as they're going to head to the Super Bowl. But I do think they're better than the Jaguars. The Jaguars are just, like I said, they have no identity. They have nothing going on. So I've got the Eagles winning a close one, 21-17. And Simon also has the Eagles winning this one, 22-10. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals are a 1.5-point favorite. I kind of feel like these two teams are on equal playing ground. The Bears have a really good defense. Their offense is really starting to get going. They did fall back just a bit last week, but they're going to have their growing pains throughout the season. The Cardinals, on the other hand, you know, there's really nothing going on defensively. Offensively, they have their sparks, they have their moments, and they're able to get it going. But I feel like since these are two pretty similar teams, I feel like this is going to end up being a really close matchup. And I just kind of feel like both of these teams, they're both up and down. So since the Bears are coming in on a downtrend, the Arizona's coming in on an uptrend, I feel like that's going to be the opposite in this case. And so I've got Chicago winning a close one, 20-19. Simon also has Chicago winning a close one, 23-17. Then we have the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Lions are a 4.5-point favorite. It's not known whether or not Jordan Love is going to play in this one. I feel like if he plays, the result is going to be the same. I like both of these teams. They're very, very similar. But right now, Detroit is riding high, and they are playing excellent football. They are not scared of anybody. They are putting some teams to shame, and they are just playing excellent football. I feel like they are one of the top teams in the league, not just the NFC, the league. I legitimately think they could easily win the Super Bowl if they keep playing this way. And the Packers, I feel the same about them. I definitely feel like they're a legit Super Bowl team. But the injury to Love definitely it plays a part in this one for me. If he doesn't play, I feel like their offense is really going to struggle. If he does play, I feel like he's still going to struggle, but just not as bad. But I feel like the Detroit Lions, they're riding high right now. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close game. But I've got Detroit winning this one 28-26. Simon also has Detroit winning this one 27-24. Then we have the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. The Rams are starting to get healthy. Nacua did injure his knee again in practice this week, so it's not really known if he's going to play this week. But they do still have Cooper Kupp. Matthew Stafford is having another Matthew Stafford-type season. This guy's getting his ass kicked, but he is just lobbing the ball everywhere. And if he just had legitimate weapons, the Rams could easily win this division, because this division is really up in the air, in my opinion. Not one team really has found an identity, has really dominated in any way. There really isn't much to say. They're all pretty much on the same playing field right now. So the Rams, if they keep it moving, if Stafford's able to stay healthy, keep playing at this high level, if Kupp is able to stay healthy, play at the high level he can, and if Nacua can keep it up, and then they also have Williams in the backfield, I feel like the Rams could win their division. They're really good offensively. They have their questions defensively, but the Seahawks, they're not a good team. I felt like they weren't a good team from the start. I feel like their early jump at all these wins that they got to begin with was mostly because they were playing shitty teams that are beneath them. Now they're getting to the meat of their schedule. And this is a division matchup as well. Division matchups, as I always say, they're always weird and anything can happen. I still expect this to be a pretty solid matchup, but I've got the Rams winning this one 35-20. I just feel like they are getting it going offensively, and they could potentially sneak up and win this division depending on what happens the rest of the season. And Simon also has the Rams winning this one 24-16. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the Indianapolis Colts at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 6.5-point favorite. The Vikings are coming off of a couple losses right now, so I feel like they're hungry, they're ready to go, they're ready to dominate, they're ready to show the world that these two losses, that it does not mean we are not a playoff contender, it does not mean we can't still win this division, it sets us back. We were going to suffer a few losses, so they got to get right back into this one defensively, one of the best in the league. offensively, they are capable of scoring a lot of points. The Colts, on the other hand, they are playing rotating quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson, he has been benched, at least for the foreseeable future, for Joe Flacco because, you know, he tapped out last week, and he even admitted that he tapped out because he was tired. He didn't tap out because he sprained his ankle. He didn't tap out due to any type of injury. He tapped out because he was tired, and that says a lot. We expect a lot from our athletes. I mean, like I said, Shohei Ohtani in the World Series just played with a dislocated shoulder. That usually takes a couple, at least a month. You're usually pulled out a month-ish for that type of injury, and the dude is like, nah, I'm playing in the World Series, I'm going to play, and you can obviously tell it was bothering him. And then you turn to the other side of the field for the New York Yankees, Anthony Rizzo, he broke two of his fingers and was out the last month of the regular season, and he was playing in the playoffs. And you got to think about it like this, he's not completely healed. He was playing because it's playoff time, and he was trying to win a World Series, and there were some hits that he was making where you're looking at the bat, and you're like, damn, I can't imagine how bad his fucking hand feels right now after every single game because that bat's vibrating in his hands, and then he's playing first base as well. So these are two guys who literally put their bodies on the fucking line to win a World Series, and you got Anthony Richardson here tapping out because he can't fucking breathe. So Joe Flacco is taking over for the rest of the season, or at least for the, they said indefinitely, so that at least for the foreseeable future, Flacco's going to be the guy, as he should. Because nobody even stepped up for Anthony Richardson in that moment because, hello, you don't tap out because you're fucking tired. You're the face of the franchise, dude. That, and you're in your second year. You're tired in your second year? Fucking Tom Brady played till he was in his 40s. You don't think that dude was tired at times? Nah, come on, man. But anyways, Flacco's going to get to play, but I feel like it didn't matter who was playing at quarterback in this one because the Vikings are the better team over the Colts. I actually had the Vikings getting it right in this one. I've got them smashing the Colts 31-14. Simon also has the Vikings winning 27-17. We have two teams on a bye this week. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the San Francisco 49ers. They are both on a bye week this week. And so we have us basketball. And we actually had us a pretty solid week of basketball, so let's get right into it. On Monday, the Orlando Magic got a big win over the Indiana Pacers, 119-115, but that wasn't the news. Paolo Banchero, this guy knocked down tons of shots to get 50 fucking points on the night. He had 37 first half points. That tied a record by Tracy McGrady. If you don't remember Tracy McGrady, tying a record set by Tracy McGrady is big doings because Tracy McGrady was a fucking beast, especially at scoring. Unfortunately for the Orlando Magic, it was announced yesterday that Banchero unfortunately tore his oblique, and he's going to be out at least the next 4 to 6 weeks. So he's out. And after that huge performance, that just sucks because the Orlando Magic, to me, are one of those rising teams. And this just takes a big chunk out of their offense, obviously. I mean, he just dropped 50 points. I don't expect him to do that every night. But the guy has been a beast since he hit the league. He was a beast in college. And now we're going to have to wait until probably next year, at the beginning of next year, to see him finish out the 2025 half of the season. But unfortunately, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. But he showed what he's worth on Monday night. Then on Tuesday, it was typical Nikola Jokic doing what he do. The Denver Nuggets got a huge win in overtime over the Brooklyn Nets, 144-139. Nikola Jokic do what he do. He got a triple-double, 29 points, 18 rebounds, and 16 assists. That is not only a triple-double, that is a monster triple-double. So Jokic starting off the season with doing Jokic things, just triple-doubling up, and you cannot stop the dude no matter what the fuck you do. Then on Wednesday, the Indiana Pacers were able to stop the dreaded Boston Celtics in their undefeated streak in overtime. The Pacers, as a matter of fact, they completely collapsed. They were kicking Boston's ass, and then they had an epic collapse. It went into overtime. Pascal Siakam, he actually ended up hitting the game-winning three-pointer for the Indiana Pacers, 135-132, to hand the Celtics their first loss of the season. Siakam actually ended up having 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists on the night as well. So he had a fantastic night, but the Pacers, they were like, oh, we don't want to win this. We want to make this as fucking difficult as possible. It's not like the Celtics aren't the best team in the league, but now let's take it into overtime. But they got the win. Then last night, Not really expected much from the San Antonio Spurs other than Victor Wembanyama updates, and he had a 5-by-5 last night, which is the second of his career, which says a lot. That means he covered all five stat lines last night in a huge win for the Spurs, 106-88 over the Utah Jazz. But Wemby ended up with 25 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals, and 5 blocks. The guy, this is only his second season, y'all. This is only his second season. This is his second time having a 5-by-5 on the stat line. Man, what? I want the Spurs to get good just so we can finally see him do something. It's like watching Shohei Ohtani when he was with the Los Angeles Angels, because it's just like, ugh, God, he's on the worst fucking team. They're never going to go to the playoffs. Finally, he gets to the Dodgers, and what happens? Wins a World Series his first year. Wemby, I feel like it's going to be the same thing. Because the Spurs really didn't do shit in the offseason. Ooh, they signed CP3. Like, that guy's going to fucking come in and save the Spurs. No. But, excuse me. But I feel like he's just going to wither away. He's going to have some of these great nights, like last night. But I feel like it's just going to be all for nothing, because the Spurs more than likely are not going to make the playoffs this year, and who knows what they're going to do in the future. But it sucks that he's such a great player and he's just going to be playing for a shit team. And speaking of undefeated, we still have two teams undefeated. Both the Lakers and the Celtics suffered their first losses this week. As a matter of fact, the Lakers suffered two losses in a row this week. Celtics only won. But we have two undefeated teams, one in the Western Conference, one in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference are 5-0 on the season, and the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference are 4-0 on the season. So those are our two remaining undefeated teams on the season. All right, so let's get back to my top five lists. I haven't had to do them in a couple of weeks, not only because I was on vacation last week, but also because it's been baseball playoff time, and so we've had plenty of sports to discuss. But now let's get back at it. So we're going to have some fun with the list today, because I just wanted to do something random and stupid. And so one thing that always annoys me when watching sports, and I mean, this is so consistent to me, because I'm just watching sports to watch sports. I do not care about anything else other than the game that I am watching. And one thing that has always annoyed me in all sports is when they show the stupid-ass celebrities in the crowd. I give zero fucks that a goddamn celebrity is at a game. What the fuck does that do for the team? What the fuck does that do for anything? Oh my God, a famous person's there. What does that mean? Oh my God, we're gonna win. No, means nothing. Just means a stupid fucking famous person was there. And you know what? Chances are that asshole didn't even pay for that seat. So, like, what the fuck? All of us fans, we gotta pay fucking exorbitant amounts of money to go to a fucking game these days, and these rich assholes just get free fucking seats because, ooh, it's PR for them. So I just fucking hate that shit. And so today, because there's a lot of stupid celebrities they shove in our face constantly, and so today's list is the top five celebrities I am sick of seeing at games. And these are all people who are just constantly on display, and I know I'm not the only one sick of it, but I just don't get it. I don't get why it fucking matters that a stupid-ass celebrity's at a game. I just don't get it. But here we go. With number five is Taylor Swift. She's at number five because it's only been like a year and a half where we've had to put up with this shit, and thankfully, this year, it hasn't been as bad as it was last year. For whatever reason. I think it's starting to, that shit's finally starting to lose its luster to some idiots. But full disclosure, I am a Swiftie. I fucking love Taylor Swift. This bitch, me, I've been to the Eras Tour twice, okay? I went all the way to fucking Germany this summer to go see the Eras Tour. That's why I went to Germany, was to see the Eras Tour. Most people are like, I go to Germany to go to Auschwitz or some shit like that. Nah, Katie Tropp goes to Germany to go see Taylor Swift. So that's how big of a fan I am of hers. I mean, I'm a huge Swiftie, fucking lover. Could give two shits in a fuck who she's dating, though. That doesn't matter to me, and I really don't give a shit if she's at a football game, and they always have to fucking show her, and it's like, dude, none of us fucking care. Stop fucking showing the bitch at the game. Congratulations, she can clap for her boyfriend. Also, she's not a real fan, so who the fuck cares? So that's number five. And the reason why she's number five, too, is because, like I said, it's only been like a year and a half. And if and when they break up, we know that shit's going to go away and we're not going to have to hear about it anymore. Then at number four, my top five celebrities I'm sick of seeing at games. Spike Lee. He is always at New York Knicks games, New York Yankees games, and they always got to fucking display him. And I just can't stand how he thinks he's a part of the game. It's like, dude, you're not a part of the game. We are not here to see you getting a little spat with Reggie Miller or talk your shit. It's like, you're a fucking director. Go direct movies and be a fucking fan on the sideline. That's great. You can get those sideline seats that you're always at, but shut the fuck up. None of us fucking care that Spike Lee is at any fucking game. Then at number three on my top five celebrities I'm sick of seeing at games, LeBron James. The reason why I'm sick of seeing LeBron James all the time is because he is not a fan of anybody, but he always pretends he's a fan of everybody. He is a fan of this team. He's the fan of that team. He is a fan of nobody but him fucking self. And another thing that I can't stand that he does, you know, if you watch basketball, you know he does that stupid celebration where he puts the crown on his head. That's the where it should stay. But when he's shown in the audience at some games, he actually does that stupid celebration where he puts the fucking crown on his head. Like, dude, we're not here to fucking see you. You're not on the court right now. So shut the fuck up, you and your fucking crown. Are you that much of a narcissist? Yes, apparently you are. But like I said, he's not even a real fan of whoever he is there for. He ain't a real fan. He's just there to be seen. And it's like, fuck you, dude. You ain't a real fan. Get the hell out of here. Then at number two on my top five celebrities I'm sick of seeing at games, anyone at Los Angeles Lakers games. I am a huge Los Angeles Lakers fan. Always been a huge Los Angeles Lakers fan. Anytime I am watching a Lakers game, I do not give a shit who is at that game. Number one reason why is because 99.9% of these stupid idiots that they're showing on TV or whatever at the Lakers game, they don't even give a shit about the Lakers. They're not even a fan. So why the fuck are they in courtside seats? I should be courtside seats. I'm the fucking fan. I'm the one who gives money to this team. I'm the one who's got all the memorabilia. I'm wearing a fucking Lakers shirt right the fuck now. But most of these idiots they put on display at Lakers games don't even give a shit about the team. They are just there to be seen, and I could give zero fucks about their stupid asses. So anybody at Lakers games, I give zero fucks about. Even if they're a fan, I don't give a shit about them, but I give even less fucks if they are just there because their PR team handed them free-ass courtside fucking tickets. Fuck you. But at number one, on my top five celebrities I am sick of seeing at games, this was so easy for me when I thought of this list because I can't stand this motherfucker for so many reasons. He's ugly, he's overrated, he is not a good actor. He is stupid, he's lame, I don't get how anybody thinks he's cool, and he did not do shit for this team. He has never played for this team, but yet every fucking game, here's this asshole on the sideline talking to the players like, oh, he's one of the fucking coaches or some shit. No. Go fuck yourself, Matthew fucking McConaughey, who's always at Texas Longhorn football games, and it pisses me off. They constantly show this stupid idiot who is so overrated in so many ways. Why are you there? Why are you on the sideline? You did not play for this team. Why are you talking to them like, oh yeah, you got this, dude? He's literally on the sideline talking to players like he's a fucking coach. Why? 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 I don't get it. And what I am saying right now on microphone is what I'm yelling at my TV constantly. When they show Matthew McConaughey, you know what I'm yelling at my TV? Why are you there? That is what I'm saying. He could be a fan. Be a fucking fan all you want. But you did not play the sport. Get off the sideline. Don't be talking to the fucking players like you is somebody. And like I said, overrated in every single way, shape, and form. Even his stupid, all right, all right, all right. That shit's stupid and overrated too. Can't stand Matthew McConaughey. Can't stand seeing him at Longhorn games. And it pisses me off every fucking time. So number one was easy and simple with a bullet. How y'all like that? That is my top five celebrities I'm sick of seeing at games. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.